بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما. رب اشرح صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundant praise. We ask that the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and family members, and those who follow the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam until the end of time. We continue our series on al-islah, islah al-nufus, the reforming of the souls. And we stopped last time talking about some of the obstacles to this islah, awaq wa islah al-nufus, those things which present themselves as obstacles in this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe somebody ask, why does there have to be obstacles? وَلَنَبْرُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Why subhanAllah, why ibtila? Why test? Why hardships? Just one simple answer. If we weren't tested, if we weren't met with obstacles in our daily life, then our dua, our dhikr, our salah would have no meaning. Why do we pray? We pray to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to please Him. Why do we make dua? Why do we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So without ibtila, without trials, without test, dua will have no feel. If people are happy and everything is provided for them, they're going to make dua to Allah azza wa jal. If everything is perfect, then people will not feel the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll continue talking about some of these obstacles. And again, with the emphasis on the practical. How can we tackle these obstacles in a realistic way, devise a plan to deal with them and move forward? And we said that Ibn Qayyim, he gave us four important arkan. He called it arkan al-mujahida in the book Zad al-Ma'ad. He called these the foundations of struggling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one was the struggle to learn. He said it's the most difficult to sit and learn. Because when somebody sits and learns, it's a sign that they're weak, that they don't know something, or that they feel in themselves they need to benefit. Number two, he said, was to act on what we know. Al-ilmu shajara wal-amalu thamara. The ulama used to say that knowledge is a tree and actions are the fruit. Number three, a da'wah, to call to what we know, to invite the people to what we are upon. قُلْ إِنِّي عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي. Say, O Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, I'm on a clear proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Say, this is my way. I invite to Allah on basira. I invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four is to be patient. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Waraq ibn Nawfal in the beginning of Nabuwa, and he told him what he saw, he said to him, Ya laytani kuntu jada'an. Oh, I wish I was young. Why? So I can help you when your people kick you out. Are they going to kick me out? The Prophet said to him, he said, yes, no man brought what you brought illa audi, except he has enemies. So when we call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find opposition. It's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we want to work towards goodness, you'll find a positive and you'll find a negative. So tonight we want to talk about two obstacles which present themselves to the contemporary Muslim, especially in today's time. The first one is the meaning of richness. What does it mean to be rich? Especially in a transmodern world, as they're calling it now, where the emphasis on what you can see, what you can have, what you can hold in your hands. You are what you drive. You are what you own. You are where you live. You are what you have, not internally, externally. And if we look at the definition of al-ghina, to be rich. Al-Isfahani said in his dictionary, Al-Ghina means to be free of hajat. You don't need anything from anyone. And he said, this can only be applied to one. It's to who? It's Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ صَمَدٌ. And Samad only appears in the Quran in this surah once. As-Samad, what does it mean? The one who feeds and he doesn't need any food. The one who can give and he doesn't need anything from anyone. This is Al-Ghina, the one who's rich. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fatir, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. O mankind, you are in need of Allah. You are poor in front of Allah, and Allah is the rich, the one who's worthy of praise. If we look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He gives us the psychology of certain type of characters in the Quran. And it's important that we, when we read the Quran and we read stories, that we focus on these people or these characters that are described in the Quran, and we try to apply it to our daily life, first to ourselves and to our family and to those around us. In Surah Al-Iqra, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the middle of the surah, He begins to describe a person. One of the characteristics is الرَّآهُ استغنى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this person, he sees himself استغنى. He doesn't need anything from anybody. Even وَيَعَذَ بِاللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qasas, He gives us the story of Qarun. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives in detail the responses of Qarun and those people around him. When they were telling him, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَسِبَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. This and that, and this and that, you have this, you have that. And what did he say? All this is due to who? Due to my knowledge. But also in the Quran, we find the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned al-ghina in a positive way. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Messenger of Allah, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, we found you, you were poor. فَأَغْنَاكَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. And we enriched you. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in a famous dua, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الْهُدَى وَالْتُقَى وَالْعَفَافِ وَالْغِنَى. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an authentic hadith, and this dua, we should memorize it. He said, O Allah, I ask you for guidance, for taqwa, piety, for health, to be what? Free of people. To be sufficient. So maybe somebody says, it's a contradiction. How come in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He debases these people. أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى أَلَمْ نَجَعَ اللَّهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانٍ وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ نَجَدَيْنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this type of personality. But at the same time, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned that we made you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enriched, and for our sisters, maybe they'll be happy. Many ulama said, فَأَغْنَاكَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِخَدِيجَ بِنْ خُوَيْلِدْ. That we enriched you, O Muhammad, with Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu anha. So how can we touch on this important clarification? We can do so by, again, looking at the Quran itself. And as we said before in other lectures, it's important to take our concepts from the Quran and from the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so we can achieve this balanced personality. And you can see, if you look at both extremes, الرآه استغنى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى, if you take both of them and think upon them for some time, you can come to the conclusion of balance. The answer is a balanced answer. Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the Quran and gave us the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to this balanced answers and conclusions. We go to Surah Al-Kahf. And subhanAllah, Surah Al-Kahf is an interesting surah. If you read Surah Al-Kahf many times, you'll find the concept of forgetting is mentioned a lot. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَٰلِكَ غَدَى إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah telling the Prophet ﷺ, don't say you're going to do anything tomorrow without saying inshallah, and remember the name of your Lord if you forget. Then in the story that we'll talk about in a minute, somebody forgets Allah. Then we go to the story of Musa alayhi salatu salam and that fatah that was with him. He said, what? Who caused him to forget? Shaitan caused me to forget an adhkura, to remind you about that fish that went in the sea. Something interesting for you to look into Surah Al-Kahf and see if you can find why. It's mentioned, I'm not going to give you everything. But go to Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th chapter of the Quran, which is, I think, perhaps one of the people's top five surah. We find the story of those two men who were given gardens. وَضْرِبَ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعْلْنَا لِأَحْدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there were two men and they both had gardens, and both gardens were prosperous. And one of them, alhamdulillah, he had a little bit more than his friend. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. He came to his friend and he said, you know what? I have more than you. I have more fruits than you, and I have even more followers than you and more fame than you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he entered into his garden, ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِي, wronging himself. And what did he say? I think this garden, it will never be destroyed. This will last forever. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةَ. And I believe that the Day of Judgment will never be established. And if I go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to find something better. This is one personality. The second one, وَقَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Then the other man said to him, what? Do you disbelieve in the one who created you from dirt and made you a man? لَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The difference in the personalities is clear. He said to his companion, after his companion was boasting, he said to him, you disbelieve in the one who made you from dirt and brought you out as a man? Indeed, he's Allah, my Lord, and I will never associate partners with him. And in subhanAllah, in Egypt, in many apartment complexes, this is written above the door. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So when you go in your house, you say that, alhamdulillah. Then he said, how come when you went into your garden, you didn't say, by Allah's will, alhamdulillah, this happened, and there's no power, no might but Allah. Here are two personalities. Both of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them something. Both of them are enriched, but the mindset and the understanding is different. One, he has the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَكَ الرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. But he sees himself, I don't need anyone. I'm okay. The other one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him these bounties, but وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. I didn't forget Allah. So here's the important point that we should note. Number one, the personality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chastises in the Quran is one who sees himself in need of everyone but Allah. In need of everything except Allah. The other one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises and the Prophet ﷺ is asking for is the one who is ghani, but he sees himself what? I'm in need of nothing but Allah. And this is ghina. This is the ghani. The one who is owned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he doesn't forget the bounties of Allah azza wa jal upon him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified this definition for us. When one day he was sitting with Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Abu Dharr, he said to him, if you were to see somebody with an abundance of money, is this ghina? Qala na'am. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, if you were to see somebody who had an abundance of property, is this richness? Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said, yeah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ghina, ghina al-qalb. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him and said, richness is richness of the heart. Then he said to him, if you were to see somebody with a small amount of possessions, would you consider this is faqr? as poverty? Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, yes. Rasulullah said, والفقر فقر قلب. Poverty is the poverty of the heart. The Salihin, they used to make dua. And listen to this dua. They used to say, oh Allah, enrich me by letting me feel poor to you. Enrich me by letting me feel I am faqir ilayk, to you. And do not make me poverty stricken by what? By feeling that I am not in need of you. I feel I don't need you. I feel I'm rich. The exact opposite. We can take one statement that we say on a regular basis, and this meaning comes in this sentence, where one is in need of only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in need of nothing else. What statement is it? Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel is right. There's another statement. Also, it's right. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. There is no ilah except you. I stand in need of none except you. I worship none but you. I trust none but you. I love none but you. I sacrifice for none but you. I give everything only to you. La ilaha illallah. I am in need of you. Ana faqir ilayk. I am poor to you. I need your assistance. And that's why we find in the Quran, even in the goodness. Because sometimes we think only about the bad things that we are faqir to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salatu salam, in Surah Al-Qasas, he said, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Allah, oh my Lord, indeed pertaining to what you sent me from good, I am poor. What does it mean? I need you to help me to utilize even the khayr that you gave me. How many talents we saw thrown away because nobody had the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to utilize them. But to get a clearer definition, and one which we can use to apply to this community, we take some statements of the righteous people. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he used to say, فَلَمْ أَرَى بَعْدَ الدِّينِ خَيْرًا مِنَ الْغِنَى. He said, I saw nothing after Islam itself better than to be sufficient. And he said, فَلَمْ أَرَى بَعْدَ الْكُفْرِ شَرًّا مِنَ الْفَقْرِ. He said, and I never saw anything after kufr, disbelieving in Allah, worse than to be poverty stricken. The ulama used to say, نِعْمَ الْعَوْنِ عَلَى تَقْوَى اللَّهِ الْغِنَى. The most blessed assistant in being mindful of Allah and serving Allah and worshiping Allah is to be self-sufficient. But what does it really mean? And can we provide a clearer definition? We can, by the grace of Allah who sent us Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a sound hadith, and you find this in the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. One time a man, he came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me something. If I do it, Allah will love me and the people will love me. If I do something, Allah Azza wa Jal will love me and the people will love me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, Izhad fi dunya yuhibbaka Allah. Be zahid in this dunya. And we talked about what it means to be zahid in the second lecture. And Allah will love you. And be zahid from what the people have, and the people will love you. So here's an important understanding for the Muslim personality. The one who wants to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be ghani is important. And what does it mean to be ghani? That the person stands in need of no one but Allah. And in order to stand in need of no one but Allah, what should I do in this dunya? I should utilize the things in this dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every morning and every evening he used to say, Allahumma ni'udhu bika min al-faqr. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from being poor. Umar radiallahu anhu said, if poverty was a man, I would kill it. Because when the Muslim is poor, like now, if we look in the world today, in the WTO, how it works with Muslim countries who are poor. For example, Turkey. The European Union is saying, if you even want to think about being a member of the European Union, then you cannot punish the adulterers because you stand in need of us. But the Muslim who stands in need of no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can obey Allah. and not be subjugated to oppression. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek refuge in you for faqr, from being poor. Poor spiritually first and poor also physically. So what does it apply for us in this country? It means, subhanAllah, this country we have a great blessing. That we have many institutions which we can utilize in this country for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Many mechanisms can be utilized in this country to make the Muslims sufficient. For example, look at the neoconservatives, the neo-fascists. Look at these people. In the end of the 80s, till now, they started utilizing everything. It started with the 700 Club in the 80s, Pat Robertson. Everybody said, this guy's crazy. Nobody's going to listen to him. When he ran for president, people started listening to him. Then after that, radio programs, Mike Savage. Now you got Bill O'Reilly. Then our boy at Fox, he buys an entire media outlet and begins to pump this stuff down people's throats. Newspapers, the New York Post. So they utilized everything around them to spread their message. And we, the Muslims, we're sitting back in the masjid talking about, are the elections halal or haram? For 25 years, is McDonald's halal or haram, akhi? Akhi, alhamdulillah, akhi, take the opinion you feel comfortable with and move forward, akhi. Quit wasting my time with this. If you don't want to vote, get out of the way. I'm voting. If you don't want to get involved, get out of the way. You don't want to be on the radio, get out of the way. If it's halal, get out of the way. If there's a dispute amongst the ulama, whether it's haram or halal, get out of the way. Because it didn't follow under munkar. If qualified ulama differ on an issue, it doesn't fall under something that we can prohibit. It fell under an issue that we can differ with what? With adab. And now it's gone. Now it's only one way, akhi, my way, akhi. Ana shaykhi wa shaykh al-muslimin, akhi. Now it became what? I know everything this way, the only way. For example, somebody say, akhi, this is the only way to pray. Hadith sahih in Hakim, that the Prophet put his hands here on his stomach. Hadith sahih. How are you going to argue with a brother, akhi? Well, akhi, I don't know, I read one book. You read one book, akhi, take your book and go and study the book. So now in North America, we're blowing it, akhi. Allah Azza wa Jal gave us so many means to utilize. If our hearts are correct, if our faith is correct, if our actions are correct, if we utilize these things for His deen, mashallah, we can do a lot of work. People are worried about the Muslims' influence in America's position towards Israel. I think it's more important than that. I think Muslim countries are worried about the American Muslim influence in foreign policy towards other Muslim countries. Nobody even thought about that part. For example, trials. Do trials exist in many Muslim countries? The educational system in Muslim countries. But we're too busy arguing about what? Akhi, I don't know, akhi, quarter pounder, akhi, I think, wallahi, I think it's haram. I think it's halal. I think it's haram. I saw two brothers in time to get in a fight over this. Tell them, akhi, is there any difference on Muslims fighting each other? Can you find any school of thought saying, well, rubama hum kan yadribuhu darban shadidan, thumma yatubu ila Allah, laysa mushkila. Can you find that in any book of fiqh? That the Muslims are allowed to hit each other physically and maybe it's okay. This imam said, yeah, I think it's okay, no problem. You'll never find it. It's forbidden. So we are like the one who is invited to the buffet, but instead we argued where to get the guests and we missed the party. So if we have this understanding in North America, it means we should do a number of things. Number one, economic basis. Every Friday we're begging for money. Every Saturday we're begging for money. Every Sunday we're begging for money. Every Monday we're begging for money. I went to one masjid one time, every week they asked for zakah. Tell me, akhi, zakah once a year, sheikh. Akhi, you know we have some problem. Okay, akhi, I understand. But 25 years ago, did you think about this? We should develop strong economic bases within the community. We should develop a strong economic base within our own life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a sound hadith, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. Indeed, the one is successful who is guided to Islam and he has provided rizq which is sufficient for him and he has qana'a. He is satisfied with the rizq that Allah gave him. Successful. And many brothers and sisters become a Muslim and they think that the masjid is the welfare center, Department of Human Services. Akhi, it's not the Department of Human Services, akhi. When you become a Muslim, start setting goals for yourself and one of them should be halal economic stability and sufficiency. What happens? A sister goes home, she doesn't have a job, and the mom and dad say, take off the hijab. I'm not going to take off the hijab, get out of the house. I don't have a job, I don't have anywhere to work, so she's stuck. Or vice versa for the brother. So we take a lesson here. Number one, and this is our focus, is the spiritual sufficiency. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَىٰ نَفْسِ. Authentic hadith, the Prophet said that ghina is not that you have a lot of stuff, but ghina is sufficiency of the soul. The soul is with Allah. The heart is with Allah. And unfortunately, also we found the opposite. People who want to utilize everything around them without any type of spiritual attachment to Allah. And this also is a problem. But what we need is the balance. Spiritual warriors. Metaphorically, if anyone's taping this, of course. By night, I stand in front of Allah, and by day, I work for His deen. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ صَبْحًا طَوِيلًا قُمْ لَيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا لِمَاذَا إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ صَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. Allah told the Prophet, stand the night and pray. Why? Because in the daytime, you're going to have difficulties. And the petrol, the gas to help you, is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that ghina is not a lot of possessions. But ghina is the ghina or sufficiency of the soul. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for His servant, He makes him sufficient in his soul. And He puts taqwa in his heart. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for His servant bad, and what does it mean by Allah intends bad? Because we know Allah doesn't intend bad. His servant does something which causes these things to happen. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا زَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for His servant something bad, He places poverty in front of His eyes. I went to many Muslim countries. I saw many people in our countries. What did they say? Wallahi, we're poor. Akhi, you have a car, akhi. You have a nice house or apartment. Akhi, you're not poor, but you're poor in your mind, akhi. People don't even have, you go to the Philippines, in parts of the Philippines, people live in the trash heaps, akhi. And you have a nice apartment. You're telling me you're poor? Akhi, poor in the state of your mind. And this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with His servants. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. The sinner of richness. If we ask, you know, people on a daily basis, where's the sinner of richness? They will say, my account. I put in, I take out. I deposit, I take away. But Islam didn't say this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى نَفْسِ. That the sinner of richness is the heart. And every day, we take in, we take out. We take in, we take out. We put something in our heart, we take something out of our heart. The question is what, akhi? Because if the heart is going to be rich and affect the rest of the personality, and this personality will affect his friends or her friends and their family and the society, then the heart has to be strong. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah mentioned that we decorated iman in the hearts of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. So are there some practical steps to this enrichment that you can do when you leave this lecture tonight? You don't have to fly across the sky on rugs, akhi. You don't have to, you know, spin on your kufi 1,000 times and turn into a ball or something. And unfortunately, Muslims went down this road because they're looking for the easy way out. You know, Allah said, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the believers are successful. In a hadith related by Imam Qurtubi in his tafsir, he said that above one of the gates of Jannah is written, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful are the believers. And he said, فَلَاح, you know the فَلَاح, the farmer, the zari'. Why he's called فَلَاح? Because he works on the ground. Why Imam Qurtubi said Allah described the believers as al-muflihun? Because they work, akhi, on themselves. Like the farmer, he works on the ground. So there have to be some steps. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And now the Muslims looking for the easy way out. You see these emails. If you pass this email 45,000 times, you will go to Firdaus. Akhi, get out of here, akhi. Take your email and get some spam block or something. The easy way out. I'm the janitor in the Prophet's masjid. The janitor in the Prophet's masjid, all of us been there. Them brothers ain't paid enough to buy laptops, akhi. And they have a satellite hookup. This brother sent an email. He said, I was in the masjid and the Prophet appeared to me and he told me to send a message to you. And if you don't pass it on, you'll be mal'oon, you'll be cursed. I mean, does this even warrant a response? And Muslims sinned it. If you look at the number of people who sin it, they're like, well, it might really, you know, happen. I don't want to lose my... And he says at his email, somebody didn't pass it and lost their job already. So not only does he have time to send emails, but he's also chatting in the Prophet's masjid. He needs to fear Allah. But it requires work, akhi. It doesn't require a tremendous amount of work, but at the same time, it doesn't require that we be lazy. Because also the Prophet used to say every morning and evening, Allahumma ni'udhu bika min al-kasl. I seek refuge, you, O Allah, from being lazy. To be lazy. I need work, akhi. So what are some steps we can do to bring this feeling in our hearts? How many brothers came to me and said, akhi, you became Muslim, so you felt some inner change. Alhamdulillah. But me, I was born Muslim, I never felt it. Akhi, did you work, akhi? Because when we became Muslim, those of us who converted to Islam, and I'm not saying it to praise us or anything, but when we came, or those of us who maybe came to Islam even though we were Muslims, right? When we came to Islam with a program of change. Akhi, I was doing all kind of horrible things. I had to change. So immediately you make that takhliya wa tahliya. You take away and you decorate yourself with something else. You replace cussing with kalima tayyiba. You replace smoking blunts with smoking hookah. No, I'm just joking. We're not smoking anything, right? You replace listening to bad music to listen to Hamda Quran. You replace things. So this is that jihad and nafs that the Quran is asking us to make step by step. And Ibn Qayyim says something important. He said, if you have a lot of bad things that you're doing, he said, don't try to take all of them on at once. Have a goal. Okay, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop this. When I stop that, I'll move to this and this and so on and so forth and so on. What are some things we can do? Number one, the ulama said that the person should feel he's poor to Allah. I remember, subhanAllah, a year ago when I went to the hospital and I had this infection in my knee, this cellulitis. And I asked the doctor, what is this? Because my temperature was around 104.8. And they told me they were pumping me with sodium and fluids and everything. They told me it's a bacteria. I said, subhanAllah, bacteria? Bacteria can do this to me? I'm 6'5". That time, alhamdulillah, now not. By that time, 310 pounds. You know? Then I remember I had a copy of the Quran. I opened the Quran, the verse, Ya ayyuhan nasu antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. That's the verse I opened the Quran to. O mankind, you are in need of Allah. You are poor to Allah. So we should feel and try to think about instances in our life and take lessons from the life around us of how we are in need of Allah. And one simple thing you can do. Look at all of the great kings through history. All of the great leaders. Recently, Bill Clinton. All of the people who have reached that high level. Can you find one throughout history who didn't need Allah? Everything they had, the buildings that they built, the statues, the money, the gardens, the rivers, the power that they had, the military prowess that they had. Can you find one of them who he was never in need of his Lord? You can never find it. And that's a sign that human beings, they are the slave to Allah. Could you find one of them when the doctor hits his leg, he can control his leg? You cannot. Can you find one of them who said, I'm not going to die when it's time to die? You cannot. Number two, that we should be pleased with Al-Qadr. We should be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this life. And we should find ourselves happy with this. Doesn't mean that we sit back and relax. We should work hard. But whatever the outcome is, Alhamdulillah. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. Whoever believes in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide his or her heart. We should feel happy with whatever Allah has given us, whether great or whether small, because we know He's Allah. And He knows what's best for us. One of the scholars, he was asked, what's richness? What's ghina? He said that the soul is pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed to it, whether it's small or large. Samarqandi, he relates in Tanbih al-Ghafilin, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the following. He said, number one, O my Lord, which one of your servants is the most pious? And he was told, those who remember Allah and they don't forget Him. Then, O my Lord, which one of your servants is the one who's the most guided on the straight path? He was told, those who follow al-huda, Those who follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh my Lord, which one of your servants is the most wise? He said, the one who deals with himself, the way he deals with other people, he deals with himself. He's just, لَا يُؤْمِنُ حَدَكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِيَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِي لِنَفْسِي. Then he asked him, oh my Lord, which one of your servants is the strongest, the mightiest? He said, the one who when he has the power, he forgives others. Oh my Lord, which one of your servant is rich? He was told, the one who's pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. SubhanAllah, sometimes maybe we have some clothes, someone gave us a gift, and maybe someone else was given another gift. And shaitana come to you, how come you didn't get that gift? A'udhu billah. Sometime the sister, I remember one time there was a sister, her husband bought her a ring. So he brought it to her, and the brother, you know, we are miskeen about this kind of stuff. So he came to her and he was excited, you know, and he had the little green thing and everything looked nice. And he was like, yeah, I know I can make up for all the stuff I've done wrong in the past. So he gave her the ring and she opened it and he said, alhamdulillah, it's 22 karat. And there was an older woman there too. And she looked at it and she said, actually, it's 14 karat. The person sold it to him, they lied to him. But the older woman, she said, but his love is 22 carats. His love for you is 22 or 24 or even the hope diamond. So this is that pleasure with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Number three, shukr. We should make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And shukr can be done in a few ways. One is with the tongue, alhamdulillah, which is hamd. There's some difference between shukr and hamd, but we'll make it easy. Alhamdulillah. But most importantly, that I make my worship better to Allah. When I stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tomorrow we'll talk about al-khushu' inshaAllah. When I stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do I try to make my worship good? This is for you, Ya Allah. Hope that you will accept it. Aisha bint Abi Bakr, she used to put perfume on the sadaqah and give the sadaqah. The people ask her why. She said, the sadaqah to Allah. So I want it to be nice when it's given to him. When I make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I should slowly try. Because I know, sometimes we make zikr in the beginning, we're thinking about this, we're thinking about that. Ibn Taymiyyah said, that person also, he'll be rewarded inshaAllah. Because of zikr. But slowly we should monitor ourselves. How many minutes did I focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many minutes did I have this khushu'? When I read the Quran, how many minutes did I contain myself to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And not anything come into my thoughts. This is the shukr in ibadah. That I try to perfect my ibadah. And that's why the Prophet said to Mu'adh, Allahumma, say, Allahumma anni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, I seek your help in what? In remembering you, and making shukr to you, and perfecting my ibadah. Another way of making shukr is to work on my akhlaq, to perfect my behavior. Always monitor myself. Did I say that? Did I do this? That's why Ibn Qayyim said that the Salaf, they used to always say to themselves, why did I do this? And how did I do it? Always monitor myself to make shukr to Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave me this body that I'm acting. Number four, to realize, they said the ulama, that anything that happens to me from hardships, وَيَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرِّنْ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَهُ. That the only one who can remove these hardships is Allah. I remember Imam Sha'rani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a very good book. He talked about his son. Imam Sha'rani was a great imam of the Shafi'i madhab. He's buried in Cairo. And he said, I remember my son, he's a great alim. He said, my son, he doesn't even like to study. And he said, I used to say to myself, I'm Imam Sha'rani. And my son is like this, how come? I'm Imam Sha'rani, I'm a scholar. Then he said, I remember something. Ufawidu amri ila Allah. So what, I'm Imam Sha'rani? Who am I? Then he said, I left this affair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I supplicated to Allah and I made effort on my son. And he said, suddenly he became, alhamdulillah, a scholar. So sometimes when difficulties happen to us, we think, I'm. Akhi, no. A'udhu billahi min ana. And aniyya now became epidemic. Became an epidemic. It doesn't mean that I don't try, as Ibn Qayyim said, and I don't work hard, yes. But I trust and I leave the outcome to Allah. And that's the trick. I work hard. If I'm on an MSA, I use every available means to get my goals accomplished. If I'm in a community, every available means. But I leave the results to Allah, not to myself. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. The last one is that the person should guard their heart and ensure that their heart feels that it is faqir to Allah. Don't allow this heart to feel, you got it, you this, you that. No. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Lillah wa lillah. After 23 years of da'wah, what did Allah tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. 23 years. You're going to see your reward, inshaAllah ta'ala, down the road. And sometimes this happened to many of us. We got active in Islamic work, and maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed it. And then we started feeling like, man, I'm the reason for this, and I'm this, and I'm that. And that's when you're going to fall on your face. But realize, without Allah's blessing upon me, I couldn't do anything. Nothing would have happened. But number two, perhaps for quote-unquote people like you and me, people like me, maybe not you, is what we call al-ya's, despair. To feel completely depressed. Akhi, you know what I did, akhi, in my past, akhi? Allah will never forgive me. A'udhu billah, akhi, don't say it. To feel that there is no hope for me. Shaitan will come to us and say, subhanAllah, you know what you did? You know the type of life you used to live? The things you think about? The things that you've done in the past? Akhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to accept you. Sister, you know how you used to live your life? You know what you did before? How come you think you can come to Allah? This despair and anxiety and sadness, it destroyed a lot of us. Why? Because this attack of shaitan and the nafs, it doesn't happen once the race is started. It happened even before the race has sounded. The gun hasn't even been sound and the person gives up. They walk away from the race. So he got it easy. So how can we tackle this concept of despair that many of us sometimes were facing with? I did this, I did that, you know who I am, I've done this, I committed this sin, I did this wrong, I did this to my wife, this to my husband, so on and so forth, maybe drugs, maybe zina, maybe khamr, maybe even qital, maybe something horrible. We start feeling, that's it, I'm hopeless. And what happens is, you can see a lot of times it happens to people. When this despair falls into the heart, I slip. I don't come to the masjid for 6 months, 4 months, 5 months. I stay away from the brothers. I don't get involved in the masjid. I don't even read the Quran. I stay away. And this is a trick of shaitan. So how can we tackle this despair? First of all, we heard on the minbar, it's haram to smoke. A jamhur, now they said this. It's haram to practice suit, riba, interest. It's haram to commit zina. And zina, it's a problem in our community. May Allah protect the Muslims in North America. It's haram to do this. It's haram to do that. It's haram to do this. It's haram to that. But did we hear somebody say, it's haram to despair of Allah? It's haram to give up on Allah's mercy. Did we hear this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hijr, قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَى الضَّالُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the one who despairs of the mercy of his Lord is what? He's astray. To give up on Allah's rahmah, he's astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Zumar, the famous verse that we'll talk a lot about tonight, he freed every Muslim from this anxiety and this extreme depression by saying, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. And this lam is called lam lam al-nahi. There are many types of la in the Quran. This la called the la of al-nahi. When it's used with a verb, it means that the verb that is going to be talked about is forbidden for you to do it. لا تقنطوا, you are forbidden to what? Give up on Allah's rahmah. إِنَّ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةٌ.